This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
It's morning and walk amongst the stars at night. I'd like to know the taste of honey in my life.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. We've already spoken with Joe Micheletti. Martin will join us at 11:30. Right now, it's our pleasure to check in with the Hall of Famer, Rick Hummel, who was busy covering the Braves and Cardinals last night, but the Commish is a tremendous all-around sports fan. Commish, I know you've kind of caught up with what happened last night at the Enterprise Center. Let me get a reaction from you on that first.
Well, it certainly looked like a missed call, but I look more at the last minute and 15 seconds of regulation. The Blues had the game won, and San Jose tied it up. And there's no guarantee the Blues would have won in overtime if they kept playing. You know, it would have been worse if the goal had been the tying goal when they pulled their netminder and they had a hand pass like that. So it was an unfortunate call, but there was no guarantee that the Blues were going to win.
And similar to 1985, everybody talks about the Denkinger moment, but there were some other things in that inning that the Cardinals could have taken care of.
There was a pop foul that dropped between Porter and Jack Clark near the temporary box seats they had there. That would have been the first out. And there was a pass ball on Porter later on when Todd Worrell threw a pitch that he thought Porter had called, and Porter, in fact, had been scratching his nose. He was scratching his mask to change the sign. You know, he inadvertently changed the sign, and Worrell said he should have asked about that. But so that, those two things for sure happened. Yeah, and still they had another game to win, too.
Yeah,
and they could have won the seventh game.
And I'm so glad we're having you on, because you were actually in the locker room in Kauffman Stadium after that terrible Game 6. And last night, Commish, after the game, the Blues players almost refused to talk about the hand pass, and they just talked about moving on to Game 4, and that's what's important. And with all due respect to that 85 Cardinal team, they were crying over spilled milk, and they didn't turn the page. They lost the next game 11-0.
Yeah, of course, Saberhagen had a lot to do with that, and Tudor had a rough game in the final, but Dwight could see that the mood of his team was shot, and they'd already playing without Vince Coleman, you know, so they had to kind of improvise their offense a lot, and they only hit 185 or something that series, so the Royals were actually playing better than the Cardinals at that point, and Saberhagen was the best pitcher on the planet for that week. But yeah, they had Whitey had thought that it was pretty much done in the sixth game. In this case, Blues have several more games to make this up. You know, they're only down 2-1. San Jose still has to win 2 more games.
I remember during that broadcast, Tim McCarver, I think it was on ABC, when Joaquin Andujar went nuts, he said, "I don't know if Joaquin Andujar will ever recover from this." And although he did pitch in the big leagues again, he wasn't the same pitcher after that.
No, and Whitey warmed up Andujar when it was like, 7 or 8-0, and I said, don't bring him in, because you knew what was going to happen. You know, Denkinger was behind the plate this time. And one thing led to another, and Whitey said, well, this wouldn't have happened if you made the right call last night, and so on and so forth. And Joaquin got thrown out at the last we ever saw of him in St. Louis.
Wow. All right. Let's get to another depressing thing for St. Louis sports. The Cardinals lose 4-0. Now, granted, and you wrote about it today very eloquently, they ran into one of the best young pitchers in all of baseball last night. But it does seem to be a common denominator that after the Cardinals have an explosion, they go on a little bit of a drought lately. What do you think?
Well, we've seen that several times this season, including twice in the last week. They had a 17 against the Pirates in the first game of that series the other day, and then scored 1-1, and then 14 on Tuesday night here, and then 0. That's just the rub of the green, I think. That happens in baseball, and the Cardinals didn't play poorly last night, except for a wild throw by Walk on a play, which would have been hard to complete anyway. And this kid's good. He allowed one earned run or none in all six of his starts this year, so the Cardinals were not the first team to fall under his sorcery.
Yeah, is Mike Socorro regarded as like a can't-miss great prospect? Did he come up with all the fanfare around him?
Yeah, he was a first-round pick. He's from Calgary. You know, not too many pitchers coming out of Calgary these days, but he was the number one pick. Shoot, he's 21 now. It had to be about 3 or 4 years ago. And, yeah, so I wouldn't say he had the same fanfare because I wasn't too familiar with him myself other than to look at his numbers, but he is a number one pick.
Well, what did you think of Michael Wacha last night?
He was all right. 90 pitches in 5 innings isn't good enough, and he's not throwing quite as hard as he had before. He said his knee doesn't bother him, his arm doesn't bother him, and I take him at his word for that. But he just is not quite the same guy we've seen. He's only lost. That's only the first game he's suffered a defeat in this year, but the Cardinals were scoring like all these big run games that they had, you know, were when he pitched pretty much. So he has had a lot of support and has needed a lot because he's allowing 5 runs a game.
Commish, with the Cardinals in third place and the starting pitching having some issues, and it looks like Carlos Martinez is on the way but going to the bullpen and you're not sure about Alex Reyes, do you think it's a realistic possibility that the Cardinals, maybe around the trade deadline, acquire a big-time pitcher?
They might. I mean, if Madison Bumgarner is still out there then, you got to ask about it. Their pitching's actually been pretty good right now. That start last night, even though... Wasn't great. It was 2 runs in 5 innings, and the 4 before that were 2 sevens and 2 sixes. So this is the best they're starting pitching for one time through the rotation has been for quite some time. So I'm okay with it right now. And you still have Ponce de Leon, who pitched great the one time he was up. Gomber is down in Memphis also, and Jake Woodford is tearing it up down there. Now he's not on the roster, not in the 40, so he'd have to make some moves to put him on. But they got some coverage there.
Dakota Hudson will get his next start if he's unsuccessful. Do you believe Gomber gets the next start after that?
No. Hudson had pitched well a couple times before his last game. And even then, after that terrible first inning, he only allowed more runs the rest of the game. He got through 6 innings and allowed 3 runs. So that was actually all right. It didn't look good, but the numbers at the end of the day were okay. So I don't see any great need to make a big move right now. They just need to be more consistent offensively. There's no question about that. And they have players. If they can't be more consistent with this offense, then it's not going to be good enough. There's nobody they would bring in that's any better than what they already have offensively.
Matt Carpenter now below the Mendoza line. Your impressions on what you're seeing with Matt Carpenter?
He's hit some balls harder than the numbers say, but, you know, under 200 is under 200. But consider that a year ago he was in 140 on May 15th. So he's actually 60 points ahead of last year's pace. He's not walking as much, and he's striking out more. So those signs are not good. But and people want to see, you know, Dexter Fowler lead off again all of a sudden after not wanting him to play at all this year when the season began. And maybe that could happen. His on-base percentage is around 400. Which is outstanding and even higher than Dexter's career average, which is very good. So I'd say we'd ride this out a little bit longer. The rest of the lineup, those numbers, where they're hitting, seem to be good spots for him. Ozuna's been a terrific cleanup guy. Young's been great at third, and Goldschmidt is coming around at two. So there's no strong reason to change it unless their offense has more rough games, and Carpenter's at the root of that. If they keep scoring one or two or no runs a game, and a lot of that can be laid at his feet by not getting on base, then he'll have to make some kind of move there.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a delicate balance for Mike Schilt, because Carpenter is your leadoff guy. He is, you know, one of your franchise players. But if, you know, Jairo Munoz, who's hitting .387, gives you a better chance to win on a Thursday in Atlanta, then you play him, right?
Sure. But he needs to play anyway to keep sharp. Or even, you know, Jerko needs to play. And ultimately, Harrison Bader will need to play a little bit. So Carpenter's played very well on the field. That's what people maybe have overlooked so far this season. He made another good play last night on a slow roller. And so I'm okay with him there. And this is not panic time. They're 23-20 after 43 games. That's not bad. Now, you don't want to play to the opposition, but if you, Darvish, you're going to pitch like that for the Cubs, and the Cubs are going to be a handful. Their rotation isn't great right now.
I want to ask you about Yadier Molina, who you wrote about recently. Here he is at that age after catching that many games, and he's got 30 RBIs in the first 42 games. What an amazing stat. What an amazing guy at this stage of his career.
Well, especially since it's only four home runs. It's different if he had 10, 11 home runs and 30 RBIs, which would be also good. And he's hitting sixth, most part, so there's RBI chances are, you figure after Ozuna's done cleaning up, there isn't much left down there, but there is. And he's been great. Nobody had run on the Cardinals much until last night, and even Molina was barely involved in that. There were two stolen bases, but one in the same inning, Acuña Jr. took second on the ball that was a wild pitch anyway. And then when he stole third, Molina never handled the ball on that play. Walker tried to lead Carpenter and threw it in the outfield. So his numbers are still, he's still not two guys, but they've only tried a few times.
So if Carlos joins the team in Texas this weekend, then who goes?
That's a tough one. I got to think that Regerson would be in some danger. I know they're paying him, but he is not receiving prime time innings, nor is Leon right now. But Leon just seems to have straightened himself out a little bit. Now, he does have an option left, so they could do that. And Gallegos just keeps getting people out. I mean, it would be, I guess, the easiest to keep the veterans around for a while and send Gallegos out, but Gallegos doesn't need to go out unless they don't think with Carlos here he's going to get the same amount of appearances that he's been getting. So one of those three would be the one. And now there might be a second person at some point from the staff leaving because Tyler O'Neill's got six home runs down there, and he doesn't belong in AAA. Now, does he belong sitting on a big league bench? Well, no. I mean, he should be playing more than he was. And I don't know how they work that out, but he doesn't need to do any more time in AAA.
Look into your crystal ball and tell me what you think is in store for Alex Reyes and your confidence level on him having an impact in 2019.
Well, it's not very high right now because he can't even catch the ball. So I think we're a month away from him being able to help them. In fact, he wasn't on the big league roster anyway when he got hurt. He was in Memphis, so he'll still have to pitch a little bit better. You know, he wasn't tearing it up down there either, so he needs to pitch better than he was, even if he can go 75 or 80 pitches as he is now. So I don't think he's a factor until July, let's say. Now, that still gives you 3 months, and in the perfect world, you'd like to think, boy, this is great for the Cardinals. He's just what they needed. Well, he hasn't really done anything for almost 2.5 years, except for one game last year, and so I can't hitch my wagon too much to him right now, but I do think he'll be of help. Will he be a big help? I don't know.
We're a long way away from the trade deadline, but would it take a tremendous package to get Madison Bumgarner at this stage of his career?
I don't think so. It would take young pitching, and they have that, and maybe young players too. I bet the Cardinals are strong in young pitching at Memphis. You know, there's Ponce de Leon and Gomber and maybe even Woodford are big league pitchers now and big league starting pitchers even. So they could be part of that. And the Giants are going to want younger players and maybe players that aren't very expensive. And those guys fill that role too. But this is, we're 2 months off from that yet, 2.5 months really. And I think you ride with what you have right now. And keeping that in mind that you might be able to go get somebody like that. And it would not cost them anybody from their regular lineup.
And what do you do in Atlanta with free time? I know you're busy working 10 hours, 12 hours a day, but did you ever go to the Varsity Drive-In?
I have not. I've had somebody bring me something from there, which is very good. And there's one at the airport I noticed when I came in the other day. So when I get there tomorrow, maybe I'll stop in there for lunch before I come back. But it's not where we are now out in Cobb County. I don't know if there's any Varsities around here or not. I'm not near anything much except there's a Chick-fil-A, of course, around here, and there's a few other places that are pretty good. But
hey, that whole stadium thing with the shopping mall and the stadium and all the restaurants, they really did that well, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I guess from what talking to people, all the good concessions are outside the ballpark rather than inside, though. So people like to eat outside that just come in.
Good stuff. Commish, honored to have you on the program. We will talk next week. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All righty. Madison Bumgarner, by the way, is 2-4 with a 4.04 ERA and a 1.1 whip. He's got 58 Ks in 55 innings. What do you think, Brian?
Look north. That's what I think for your next pitcher.
All right.
Marcus Stroman.
Lakeside Roofing brings us the Commish, established in 1972 as a solid reputation for excellence in the roofing industry. Their philosophy is focused around a relentless commitment to customer service, quality products, and outstanding workmanship. Lakeside Roofing's reputation is one of reliability, trust, high-quality work, and competitive pricing. They feature the finest quality roofing materials and provide expert installation. Call the professionals at Lakeside Roofing for your home or business. In Illinois, call 618-344-2800. And in Missouri, call 314-241-5253. Find them online at lakesideroofing.com. Also, the Gatesworth, one of our great sponsors. If you're looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle, grandma or grandpa, 170 in Del Mar, 1 McKnight Place, the answer is always yes when you call down to the front desk. Man, do they do a terrific job. It's like living on a cruise ship. Great food, great activities. They take incredible care of my mother, and we're thrilled about that. We'll take a break. Martin Kilcoyne live from Westport Social when we come back.